President Kevin Leonard's professor 1.5 year ago, Politico quoted you saying that the European project is in danger due to the fact that the primacy of the EU law has been challenged in various member states. How did this situation evolve from your point of view until now?
Well, the news is good on that score because Politico synthesized what I had been telling them, but I had in fact said that there were a number of instances where a court had challenged primacy of union law, but in a very specific context each time. And in fact, in the whole history of the European Union, that boils down to 3 to 5 cases, and they have all been solved afterwards. Solved in the sense that the national law was then changed in order to make it comply with union law, as a consequence of which the judges then applied the new law in compliance with union law. So there is no lasting effect, and this is especially true with the judgment Weiss of the German Constitutional Court, where they admittedly said that they were not convinced by one of the judgments of our court, but having received more explanations as to the decisions of the European Central Bank, 1 year later they said we should not order the implementation of our first judgment, so it didn't lead to anything, which is right, because in the European Union, and that's the essential part of my answer to your excellent question, is that since union law is common to 27 states, all these states must be equal before union law. So if member states' courts could unilaterally break away from the common rule, there would be a breach in the equality of citizens, businesses, and member states before union law, which is a law common to 27 member states. So primacy is another way of saying equality of member states before union law.
We also had a situation like some days after that interview, that article in Politico, the Constitutional Court in Romania responded to the European Court of Justice decision, which ruled that national judges can leave unapplied decisions of the Constitutional Court that contravene European Union law without the risk of disciplinary proceedings. Romania's Constitutional Court argued that the European Court's decision can only be implemented after the revision of the Romanian Constitution. What is your take on this issue and what risks Romania is exposed to?
In reality, what the Court of Justice in a Grand Chamber judgment said in February 2022, when the Court of Appeal of Craiova asked the Court of Justice more or less exactly what you ask me now. What should we do? Because we are caught in the middle between a judgment of the Constitutional Court and the judgment of the Court of Justice. And we said, it's very simple, that the ordinary courts are not bound by decisions of the Constitutional Court, even when the Constitutional Court pronounces on a matter of union law without having first referred the matter to the Court of Justice of the European Union relating to the interpretation of union law. Now, here again, with that said, the Court of Justice of the European Union has the best possible relations with the present Constitutional Court of Romania. And I pay tribute to that court because they have, in their case law, developed matters totally in compliance with union law, including very, very recent judgments in these past days, in reality. And before that, they have also asked preliminary questions. So in that particular case, there had been a tension because the judgment of the 8th of June, that's the judgment you're referring to, 2021, the Constitutional Court of Romania made pronouncements on the meaning of union law without asking the Court of Justice to rule on these matters of union law. And we said in those circumstances, but in those circumstances only, the ordinary courts should not be bound by that and should certainly not risk, that is, their judges should not risk disciplinary sanctions for not following pronouncements of the Constitutional Court on matters, not of national constitutional law, but on matters of union law. And I think we have had, after that judgment of our court of February 2022, intensive contacts with the Constitutional Court, and that problem is now completely straightened out. So I don't think there is any risk of further difficult developments between the Union and Romania, and I'm extremely happy about that.
More recently, we have witnessed national laws with a potential to discriminate minorities. It is the case where 15 EU countries and the European Parliament are backing the legal action against Hungary at the European Court of Justice. What is your take on this issue?
Yeah, I can of course not say anything about this case because it is pending in the court, and you know, a judge would of course be prejudged if he or she were to comment on that matter. What I can say, and I said it in my speech accepting the doctorate honoris causa, the role of constitutional courts and the role of constitutional law even in terms of fundamental rights protection, so human rights protection, protection against discrimination, the role is precisely to protect the minority against the majority whenever the majority risks to discriminate against minorities. The majority can, in a representative democracy, protect itself because it has the majority. It decides what it needs to decide. But as I said, already 230 years ago in the Federalist Papers, preceding the adoption of the Constitution of the United States of America, Alexander Hamilton said that when it comes to basic human rights, that is the right to be oneself, or the right to life, the right to fundamental freedom of people, there minorities may have to be protected against the majority. That's also why constitutional texts are adopted by referendum or by a special majority in parliament, because they must be stronger than the 51% majority of the day. And so that's really the relationship between constitutional texts which reflect a more fundamental understanding of what living together in a nation state means, and then the minorities can rely on that text to see their basic human rights protected. And so the case you refer to is in fact an application in that context. It's not a matter of majority protection, it's a matter of minority protection. With that said, the case is to be argued and we will see where it brings us. But as I said, there I cannot comment on the specific case. But it is sort of playing before the background of what I've just said.
What impact is the Russian invasion of Ukraine having on the European Court of Justice practice, especially when we speak about the extension of sanctions against Moscow?
Well, that is an excellent question. The answer is, like any crisis, when there is a crisis like this, very unfortunate sort of peace-breaking crisis in Ukraine, the Union is reacting to the crisis. But the measures which the Union takes are measures of Union law, and therefore they can be brought before the Court of Justice, very often in the first instance before the General Court, on appeal limited to points of law to the Court of Justice. And of course, the sanctions are an example in point. Here again, there is a major case pending on the RT France, is Russia Today France, which is a television chain, which is contesting the fact that it has been put on the sanctions list. And that is a typical type of case which can come. So they ask the annulment of that listing on the sanctions list before the General Court. The General Court dismissed the action, and the Court of Justice is now seized by an appeal of Russian Today France, RT France, against the Council of the European Union. But there again, I can't say anything because the case is pending. But that is the normal way we get cases flowing from any crisis. We also have had cases on the pandemic, for instance, where a number of measures were taken and by the Union or by the member states, And then the compliance of these measures with higher norms of union law, such as human rights or consumer protection or instruments of private international law, it can be any field of union law, is brought before us. So it is fair to say that any crisis, and the Ukrainian crisis is not an exception to that, measures are taken, these measures somehow come before the Court of Justice to be interpreted and especially to see their legality controlled by the Court of Justice.